Bibles here this morning to 2 Chronicles 36. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. This is the end of the era of the kings in Israel and Judah. They're just about to get carried off to Babylon. And beginning down in verse 14 of 2 Chronicles 36, we'll begin to read. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets. And the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till there was no remedy. Let's pray. Now, Lord, we come here today on a weekend that has a lot of meaning, a lot of commemoration with regard to the history of our country. We sometimes look at what's going on and we wonder what the future history will be. Father, we need to be desperately reminded of some things today. As Christians, we are, after all, Christians first before we're Americans or, for that matter, anything else. And so we pray here this morning that you would maybe give some direction and a little maybe clear some of the obscurity. I know that there is some confusion about, maybe not so much in our church, but I know that amongst folks in this nation about some things. And we pray that you might be able to clarify it, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, down at the end of verse 16, you read some chilling words. I believe they're chilling. They chill me when I read them. It says there that the wrath of the Lord rose against his people, talking about Israel and Judah, and said till there was no remedy. And those are pretty chilling words. With tremendous mercy and forbearance and long-suffering, the Lord suffered all of Israel's shenanigans for all those years that she had her kings in the land. And yet there came a day after sending and sending and sending and trying and trying and trying, having mercy over and over again, and Israel would repent and the Lord would accept their repentance and so on. Finally, the Lord, at the end of 2 Chronicles 36, declares that there is no remedy. And what has since followed is 2,500 years of tears and sorrow and crying for the nation of Israel. There have been a few ups, but more often than not, there have been mostly downs. Right? Now, this weekend is July the 4th. Well, yesterday was July the 4th. This is the 4th of July weekend. And it is the weekend, of course, that we Americans celebrate our independence from Great Britain. Most people don't realize that the Declaration of Independence was approved on July 2nd, and that actually nobody finished signing the Declaration until August of 1776. But nevertheless, if there is a birthday for America, it was July 4th of 1776, and that day, of course, that weekend is commemorated with an awful lot of pride, swelled bosoms. People now commemorate those things and thinking about all that, all the men and women that have given their lives and the battles fought, and a lot of things that have happened in this country since that time. You got to somehow go back to that day and recognize just what a monumentally courageous thing it was for a rustic nation, a nation of rustic planters like our nation, to take on the power of Great Britain. The sun never sat on the British Empire in that day. And, of course, the day that we decided to go to war was the day that we knew that we had awakened a sleeping bear. The amount of courage, the fortitude that it took to do that is staggering, frankly, to most of us here today. And you stop and consider the vast hardships of the colonial army. And then, of course, we don't just connect it to the American Revolution, because since then there have been other battles fought, noble battles fought. American Civil War, the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, etc., etc., Desert Storm, Afghanistan, now Iraq, and all those things. July the 4th, let's face it, is as American as America gets. You really can't be more American than July 4th. And to most of us here today, there is a linkage between the love for our country, patriotism, and the Bible, our Christianity. Because while some don't speak of it very often, what we enjoy in this country was very much linked to the Bible and to Christianity. And so, you come to this text and it says there's no remedy. I'm not here to prophesy to you today necessarily that there's no remedy for America. I got to tell you, I'm not sure there is a remedy. But I'm not here prophesying that there absolutely is no remedy. But I'll tell you this, there have been some developments in recent months, recent days, where the momentum of the down spiral is really quite startling. You know? And I got thinking about that with respect to all the fireworks being shot off and all of the patriotic commemoration of the weekend here. And I got thinking about it because, first of all, I believe that Americans are much further distance today from the spirit and, the whole spirit of July 4th, 1776 than they've ever been before. And I think next year they'll be much further yet from there than they even are today. But the second thing about it is that I believe that there's a lot of Bible-believing Christians, not unlike me and you, who are now kind of cast into a state of confusion about where they even stand anymore. I believe that, that a lot of Christians today kind of stand where they have never stood before. They feel disconnected because, in truth, their country has left them. And I got thinking about that a little bit. And, folks, most of us, sitting here in this room, and most of those Christians with whom we are friends and consider ourselves in fellowship with, we are extremely conservative, to say the least, right? Morally, politically, culturally, everything. We're just very, very conservative. And we tend to look at our country and we look at the wars fought, the soldiers that gave their lives. We look at military cemeteries and even bits and pieces of history. And in general, and I don't misunderstand me, because I am aware of that there are some there's some serious dirt on the underbelly of some of American history. I do understand that. But at the same time, most of us know, our country and our Christianity are connected in the liberties that we enjoy, the fact that we can still say what we want to say, write what we want to write, read what we want to read, and go where we can afford to go. Not everybody in this world can do that. You know that. And, all of our property, our money, our families, our freedoms, our guns, our opinions, and all those things, have come to us here. And to us, those things are kind of interlinked, our Christianity and our country, our patriotism, right? I mean, the country granted us the liberty and the latitude and the freedom to seed ourselves and grow as Christians and bear fruit as Christians and go to church as Christians and worship as Christians and all those things. I'm just telling you that I believe that for most people that are Bible believers like me and you, those things are connected. I doubt very seriously very many of us in here have ever been offended because an American flag would fly in a church where we would go. To us, that's not an insidious thing at all. I realize we don't have a flag in here, and there's no real distinct reason for it, just haven't ever put one up. But for most people that go to a church where there's an American flag, nobody has a problem with that. We go to a church sometimes, and a church is generally one of the first spots to honor American soldiers, firemen, Policemen? Rescue workers? You know, people like that. We wouldn't think anything of a Veterans Day or Memorial Day service being kind of funneled to be grateful for soldiers, for the military, right? You stop and consider that, Christianity has a connection in American history. I mean, what do we think of? We think of Sergeant York. The great Christian, right? We think of fighting chaplains, you know, in the American Revolution. We think of Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee and the revivals that flew through the both the Union and the Southern armies in the American Civil War and all those things. And for us, those things are connected. And for most people, I probably even sitting in this room, you know, there is a there's an interlinking of there's an interlinking of our Christianity with our country, with our patriotism. And many Christians right now are really disoriented and really dizzy. In fact, I've been feeling a little dizzy because your country's left you. Stop and think about it. I mean, let's just go ahead and pronounce it. Our culture has been surrendered to sodomites, pantheists, and atheists. Okay? We've given it over to them. You stop and consider that our economy and our property now has very much, in large percentage, been turned over to the ownership and management of the government. If you think they can't come take your stuff, they can come take your stuff. The defenders of our Constitution, those that are sworn to defend our Constitution, are now the ransackers of our Constitution. Our judges and our justice system no longer dispenses real justice. Our soldiers are sent to fight wars that they can't win. Our government has come to live and to fuel itself largely on fear, deceit, and propaganda, and let's face it, stolen money. Or toy money. For the most part, and everybody knows this now, but God and the Bible were sent packing as far as public domain in our country a long time ago. So, well, what are you getting at, Brother Stevens? Well, I love this country, and I love and know a good bit of its history. And I know that in that history, there is this profound, I mean, real Christian history, there is a real profound connection with the Scriptures and with the Word of God and with Christianity. But I need to talk to you for a little while this morning about America and Christianity. Because, like I said, there's some Americans right now. I talked to a guy a month ago in my office who sat down, and he was genuinely disoriented. He had been a Marine, he had been a this, and he had been a that, and he's ready to go to the carpet to defend the nation, and I understand that sentiment, but he had come to recent realization that his country had left him. And all of a sudden, as a Christian, he didn't really know what to do. So I don't know if you're there. I doubt seriously that too many of you are there. But I thought it'd be helpful maybe to lay out a few things here. And I'm not out to hurt anybody's feelings. I assure you, I am not an America basher. I assure you that there's nobody here that loves reading about military courage, the courage and bravery of an American soldier any more than me, okay? But there are some things that we need to take some serious consideration in, and I have several things to just say. First of all, let me just start by saying, number one, God only chose one nation. God only chose one nation. Because of our biblical roots, because of our genuine spiritual foundation, because there's a lot of Bible that got laid down as the foundation for our country, many kind of presume that God chose America. Now, don't get me wrong, because listen, I well know God has used America. He really has. I mean, He really, really has. God has blessed America. The fact of the matter is that for the last 400 years, America has played a spotlight role in what God's doing. As far as the gospel's concerned and all those things, it was now a fair amount of time ago that God took the spotlight off of Great Britain, one of the greatest missionary countries in the world, and moved it to the United States of America. And it's been like that, not just for decades, but for centuries. So I realize that's true, and I understand that that's true, but I want you to understand something that's worthwhile to remember once in a while, because sometimes it gets confused in Americans' minds. God only chose one nation. The nation of Israel is the only nation on the face of this earth that God chose. And in choosing them, He promised that no matter what happened, no matter how backslidden, no matter how far down they were reduced by judgment, idolatry, and the heathen, that that nation would never ever disappear, that God would never ever be completely done with dealing with Israel before He brought them back to make them the number one nation on earth. God only chose one nation in all of history. In fact, the Bible says, and you'll know this verse, it says that all the wicked shall be cast into hell, and all the nations, right, that forget God. God only chose Israel. All the rest of the nations chose God. Or not. There's a difference. There's a vast difference. Because, ladies and gentlemen, God has been America's God as long as America chose God. God is Israel's God no matter who they choose. He's going to take them down a long, hard road, but in the end, God's their God whether they like it or not, because He chose them. That is not the case of any other nation on the face of this earth. Israel is a permanent fixture, but there is no such thing like that for Americans. We have no reservation. We have no pedestal that we're guaranteed to because we are American Christians. We just don't. See, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, to most of us, Bible-believing Americans, to most of us, our affections, what we link in our minds, the linkage in our minds has to do with, you know, God in America, Christianity in America, and they kind of go together. Like I said, Sergeant York, to us, you know, Thanksgiving, Pilgrims and the Indians, you know, and Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee and those Civil War revivals and the fighting chaplains of the American Revolution and those great awakenings. And there was a day in our country that the president of our country would call a day of prayer and would actually pray. Actually pray to the God of heaven, maybe even in Jesus' name for all I know. You read about the prayer meeting on Bunker Hill as it was being fought, and then you start reading some, you know, pioneer missionary work. You know, John Wesley came here. George Whitfield came here. The Moravians moved here. Peter Cartwright was here. And, you know, our country has a noble, Christian, biblical history. Yet, none of those things are eternal decrees. That thing is for each and every generation to choose for themselves. Each generation has to choose God in America, because God did not eternally choose America. Who is your generation chosen? So, first thing, again, is God only chose one nation. I'll tell you the second thing I wanted to say. And the second thing is, it is wrong. It is wrong to equate Christianity and America. It's wrong. They are not equal. I am not a country basher. I know America's scriptural history. I love the army. I love soldiers and all those things. And for long decades, for centuries, Christianity and America were able to walk hand in hand in the same direction, pretty much, down the same path. There were rough moments. The Puritan colonial Christians tried to set up a tyranny. They did not want a Republican representative republic like we used to have. They wanted a tyranny. You understand that, right? Now you understand that when it, you know, there were just, you know, you understand that there were Catholics greatly involved that wanted to wrest the direction of America away from where it's gone. You understand that, right? Well, I'm just saying that, you know, Christianity, Bible-believing Christianity, and America managed to walk hand in hand the same direction for a long time. And again, America provided a field where Bible-believing Christianity could seed itself and grow and bear fruit and spread and all those things. It's been a fair partnership, but do not make the mistake of thinking that Christianity equals America. And that America equals Christianity, because it does not. They were never the same. They are not equal. They have never been equal. And I assure you, they will not be equal now. They will not. Christianity is a kingdom within, folks. I understand that 1 Peter says that we that are born again are a holy nation, but that nation's not America. Because there are Romanians in that holy nation. There are New Guineans in that holy nation. There are Pakistani Christians in that holy nation. There are South American Christians in that holy nation. There are Africans in that holy nation. America is not that nation. America and Christianity are not the same. We are a peculiar people. And I got news for you. Our citizenship is not here. So first of all, folks, God chose only one nation. Secondly, it is wrong to equate America and Christianity. I have a couple more negative things to say before I have something positive to say, just so you understand. But there's something else that's very important that you have to digest. Like I said, I just know Christians that to them for so long, patriotism and what America and what Christianity stands for has been so interlinked for so long that now that their country's departed from them, I guess they haven't quite realized it, and it's kind of disorienting for them. But I should say this, and this is important. America's roots are in heathenism, just like the rest of the Gentile nations. Now, I'm not really talking about 1700. I'm not really talking about 1800. Well, I can tell you this, folks. You go back to 1100 and 1300 and 1400 and 1500, and fly over this country in a helicopter, I'll tell you what you'll see. A bunch of heathen. As heathen as it gets. It's just true. Look, I'm not dishonoring the soldiers. I am awed by what Washington and Jefferson and Adams did. I am flabbergasted by what Meriwether Lewis accomplished. But America doesn't equal Christianity. And the America's roots lie in heathenism and paganism, just like all the countries that you guys came from before you came from the old country. 1400, who's here? 1500, who's here? Well, there aren't many Baptists. There aren't many Bible-believing Methodists. I'll tell you who's here. Apaches and Comanches. Cherokees and Ojibways and Delawares and Catawba Indians, the Iroquois, the Mohicans, the Oneidas, the Senecas, the Tuscaroras, I almost didn't get that one out, the Dakotas, the Crows, the Sioux, the Chippewa, the Blackfeet, the Cheyennes, the Kickapoos, the Kiowa. They weren't Christians. They were heathen. By the way, a little bit later on, the French came into this country and had a major portion of this country wrapped up. They were French Catholics. Those were heathen. Spain had a big hold on a good deal of this country for a while. They were Spanish Catholics. Those were heathen. Mexico owned a lot of this country. Guess what? Those were heathens. Don't look now, but all the Brits that came over and all the Swedes and all the Norwegians and all the Danes and all the Germans that came over here were not Bible-believing Christians. They were the progeny of a bunch of Norsemen and a bunch of Mongols who were heathen. You say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? The point is that, you know, when we equate America and Christianity, it's a dangerous thing because America does not equal Christianity. Now, I'll say this, having said that America's roots lie in heathenism. I'll say this. America came under biblical influence and prospered under biblical influence. Boy, it really did. I mean, like I said, you know, there's an awful lot of history that's being rewritten now, but and I know that everything the white man did to the Indian was not a good thing, but the Indian were heathen, and the white man did move in, and among, not all those white men, but among those white men, there were Bible believers, and there were Christians. And I got news for you, the Bible believers fled the persecutions in Europe, and they came here, and for the first time, they were out from under a tyranny. For the first time, they were out from under a monarch. They had liberties, hard-won liberties, and hard-won latitudes, and where they got to be Christians because they wanted to be, and somebody was going to have to fight them off with a gun to keep them from being Christians. The Moravians came here from persecution. Preachers came here burdened for this land. David Brainerd labored among the Indians for his entire short life trying to win the American Indians to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wesley came here as a missionary for a time. Whitfield came here as a missionary for a time. Our founding fathers were supremely influenced by the Bible. There was a Baptist who believed in liberty that profoundly affected Jefferson. Jefferson was not a Christian, but Jefferson was profoundly affected, at least in some of his views, by this guy that was a Baptist. And so free from tyranny, free from the monarchy, free from a state church, Christianity in America took fire. The Bible spread like crazy, and we became known as a Christian nation, but not because a king said we're Christians, but because individuals became Christians, and the taste and the tone of the country became Christian in general, because men had become Christians, not because a king in England said, hey, we decided to be Christians instead of Catholics. Well, you know how that works, right? Say, so what's the point, Brother Stephen? The point is, America came under biblical influence. Now, the next thing I need to say is that America's foundations have now been dismantled. If you are a patriotic Christian, and I am a patriotic Christian, but if you're a Christian that's having trouble trying to figure out where patriotism belongs beside your Bible, you're gonna need to think this thing through. America's spiritual foundations have been dismantled. Now, we all have been subject to some conspiracy theories through the years and all the underground stuff that's gone on or hasn't gone on, and sometimes you don't know what's paranoia and what's fact when it comes to conspiracies. Fact of the matter is, it's now boldly out in the open, and only somebody that listens to CNN anymore could still be confused. Because now the players are not in a conspiracy closet pulling strings from the side. It's all out in the open now. Okay? What you're seeing happen now is downright un-American. Your spiritual roots, your Christian America has been dismantled. And there are two reasons for it. One reason for it is corrupt human nature. Okay? Even Christian men deteriorate if they don't stay on top of things. As it is, evil men and seducers, lost men, will just get worse and worse and have. Unregenerate men have continued to get worse and worse. Solomon had an interesting observation. He said that God made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. And that's exactly, folks, what has happened. The gospel in our country, folks, the gospel in our country was never popular. If you think that the gospel was popular in Dodge City, you're nutty. Okay, the gospel was never popular in the hell holes that have always been around America. It was just more common. But you know, there's something about man that'll happen. There's something that you just have to understand about human nature. One, in general, human nature does not get better; it gets worse. Men tend to degrade, except with just the utmost pressure to spiritually get better. So men in general will deteriorate. But I'll tell you, there's something that men will always do. They will always procreate. It doesn't matter. Man may get worse and worse and worse and worse, but he's not going to stop procreating. So now we have 300 million men in this country. And the degeneration, Christianity was not able to keep up with the degeneration. In fact, a lot of the degenerates now are Christians. So you now have a nation of close to 300 million heathen, because as America degenerated morally and spiritually, they didn't stop procreating. Right? And on top of it, you got to take into account the devil. The god of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Remember I said that about Solomon observing God made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. I got thinking about those inventions. You know, folks, there is not a president of the past in the 1700s, the 1800s, and for that matter, most of the 1900s, that could have ever conceived that a president could say something on the East Coast and be seen to say it in real time in San Francisco or San Diego. I mean, do you realize, folks, that that nowadays that we might as we here we are in flyover country in Minnesota, we could just as well be living in Florida or Southern California as far as information is concerned. And talk about an invention. How about the inventions in communications, where now the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, and will by the end of the great tribulation have deceived the whole world. Folks, the devil can talk to you anytime that he wants to. As a nation with 300 million people in it, all at the same time. And so America has yielded to the power of brainwashing and being mesmerized and being distracted, so that to this hour, now, I mean, look, folks, an American Indian would rub shoulders with a white man, you know, once in a while, and maybe the white guy would give him the gospel, but the chances are that the average Indian in the frontier America did not come in contact with Bible-believing Christianity, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Catholics all in a lifetime, because information just didn't travel like that. Folks, nowadays, we are told that if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which I've preached unto you, let him be accursed. Folks, people are daily exposed to 100 different gospels. 100 different gospels. Thousands of different gospels. You realize that you know, there are now 1,000 different branches of the devil's wisdom. You realize now that there are 1,000 other more alluring gods than the God of heaven. Say, well, what's the point? The point is, America's foundations have been seriously dismantled spiritually. And it's not any longer, you know, when will it happen? Folks, it has happened. Look, the heathen in this neighborhood are just as much heathen as somebody in New Guinea. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, the point is to try to make sure that we get a handle on this. Because like I said, I've talked to some guys who had a hard time trying to get in their heads, you know, this, you know, they'd always been Christians, and their Christianity had kind of been connected with being an American and the American soldier. And, you know, in America, we're Christians, and our president is going to make basically Christian moral decisions. That's not the case anymore. It's not the case anymore. If there was a true day that it was like that, I'll assure you, it's not the case anymore. So the next thing is this. Get this through your head. America is the world. Christians' enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, personally, I'll tell you this. There has never been a time that America was not the world. America was never Christianity. Christianity was never America. They walked hand in hand in one direction for a while. They mutually helped each other, okay, but they were never the same. They were never unified. They were never equal. And they will certainly never be now. But I got news for you. Get it through you. America is the world. You say, oh, yeah. Boy, I tell you what. Those Europeans, they're sure going downhill, aren't they? Yeah, like you're not. America, folks, America is the world. America is the world. Satan is the god of this world. Satan is king in that neighborhood, right there. Satan is the god of the next door neighbor over here, most likely. Okay? America is the world. And lastly, I have to say, you are a stranger and a pilgrim. You always have been. There has never been a time. If you had been born in the first Great Awakening in America, you still would have been a stranger and a pilgrim in the United States of America. Because America is not Christianity. America has always been the world. If there was a time that they walked together, America and Christianity, and they got along fine, and they helped each other, and they had a symbiotic relationship, that's all good and fine. It's no longer symbiotic. We no longer elevate one another. America doesn't help a Christian anymore. You have some leftover latitudes and liberties, which are currently being threatened as fast as they can be threatened. Okay? You still get to speak what you want to speak, read what you want to read, write what you want to write, go where you want to go in as far as you can. But make no mistake about it, they want to take that away from you. You say, why? Because the devil wants to take that away from you. Because he's the god of this world. He's the god in America. The Lord Jesus Christ is not God in America. Satan is the god in America. Small g god. America is the world, and you are a stranger and a pilgrim here. You always have been. You always were intended to be one here. We've just gotten to live in comfort here because things, you know, it's not exactly like swimming upstream here as it would have been in the Roman Empire in 100 AD. Because we've had some Christian influence here, right? You are a stranger and a pilgrim no matter how good it gets here. No matter how good it ever was, there is not a Christian that's ever been born that wasn't a stranger and a pilgrim here in this country. It's worthwhile to remember that because, you know, once in a while, you know, our hearts start swelling and we start thinking about, you know, soldiery and the military and some of the things in the country, and our tendency is to connect those with Christianity. And sometimes there has been a connection, and there has been a history that's been intertwined, and they've gone together some. But make no mistake about it, you don't belong here. This is not your country. Your citizenship is in another country. You don't belong here. And if you had lived here in the first Great Awakening, you still wouldn't have belonged here. It's ever been that way. It's ever been that way. I suggest you change citizenship if you have never trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior. Listen, I'm going to heaven. I got property and I got a mansion somewhere else. Jesus Christ has given me an inheritance in another land. And I don't mean a land on this earth. And He wants to give you eternal life. But you're going to have to receive Him as your Savior. And when you do, you're no longer an American like you're an American as you sit here right now. Okay? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. That includes your citizenship. We're not citizens here. We're a people without any homes. We're kind of vagabond here. We don't belong anywhere. And you might as well stay in America because, you know, Switzerland's not any better. If you move to New Zealand or Australia, it's not going to be any better. That's the world, too, right? But you need to get straight through your head that no longer can America and Christianity be viewed as symbiotic and kind of together, because it doesn't work. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Well, Father, I hope it's been a little bit of an enlightenment and an encouragement. I know that most of these folks have been through some of these thought processes here, Lord, on a day when in our country it's a big deal. And Father, we think very highly of men and women who sacrificed all or part to give us liberties and latitudes that we enjoy. There are people here that were in the military, Father. We're just glad that we've been called to another country, that our citizenship lies elsewhere. I just pray that you'd help us to be able to continue to be a light in this world, and that you'd help us to keep our attitudes and our perspective right with respect to these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn over to number 10 again. Number 10 again. I know you've sung it once today. I'd like to, maybe you'll think about it a little bit more this time through. Number 10. We ought to all be encouraged by just what the light of the gospel can bring about in a country. You realize that, you know, how much good for what light was in this country, although in technical aspects, in many ways, the country was never truly Christian from its top to its bottom. But the amount of light that was here and what God was able to do with that light ought to give you a little bit of a perspective on the kind of power that you're sitting on with the gospel of Jesus Christ and with the Bible. It makes all the difference in the world. I mean, our country has been the greatest, grandest, most wondrous country in this world for a couple hundred years now. And that because of the influence of the gospel and God's blessing on the country. Now America is turning away from those things. We ought not yield to that pressure. Never let the world, America, dictate to you what your God wants you to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good day here today. We pray that you'll bless folks in their comings and in their goings. We look forward to tonight as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.